And as you might have picked up by now, our emphasis for the morning is on the Annunciation, the passage that we will focus upon during the gospel lesson is told from the standpoint of Mary. And rather than having Todd or Don or myself and our male voices read the passage, Cordell Zahanes, one of our ruling elders, will come and share our scripture reading for us this morning. Cordell Zahanes.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. And let us hear what the Spirit says to the church. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Thank you, Cordelta. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, sang the Virgin Mary, after discussing her unplanned and inexplicable pregnancy with her cousin Elizabeth. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has shown great strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. In other words, God is going to turn this entire world upside down. Mary's words in the Magnificat are part of a larger passage of Scripture, in which the angel Gabriel announces Jesus' birth, saying, "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and he shall be called the Son of God." And it also happens to be the theme, as Jamie pointed out, of the window all the way up here in the front of the sanctuary, and it's also projected on the walls here in front. Following all the work that was done on these windows during the course of the summer, I thought it would be appropriate and actually a little bit fun to highlight these sermons during the course of this year as I preach. And maybe the inspiration came even more from you as you expressed your love and admiration and even your own inspiration as you come and worship here in the sanctuary. Some of you spoke of how the light hits just right in the mornings and how the colors of the glass reflect off of the walls. Some of you spoke to me about how you gained incredible peace as you came early to worship, or even sat alone on some days as you entered here in moments of silence. You know, that was the original purpose of stained glass windows in churches. In a pre-literate world, stained glass windows told the story of Christianity. We worship, if you will, in a children's book of our faith. It's a picture book that tells the story of what we believe. And as we celebrate this year the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, yes, it was 500 years ago in 1517 that the Reformation began. It was a sort of turning point in history as the world moved from the Dark Ages to the Enlightenment, from illiteracy to literacy. And we will focus on the themes of these windows and the stories that they do tell us. So we start at the beginning today with the story of the angel Gabriel announcing Jesus' birth and Mary's song, the Magnificat. The Magnificat is a subversive little song. God has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich God has sent away empty. And those words provide a message for us even today. A number of years ago, Jim Kay was the preaching professor at Princeton Seminary, And he was a guest preacher at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church at 73rd Street in Manhattan. And preaching on this text during the Advent season, he asked, not quite rhetorically, is it really possible to preach the Magnificat on Madison Avenue? That's a good question, isn't it? That pulpit is right around the corner from the headquarters of many advertising agencies. Don Draper, the fictional character in the series Mad Men, makes his living on Madison Avenue. All kinds of mad men and women make their living on Madison Avenue, figuring out clever ways to maximize consumption. We look to numbers like the Consumer Confidence Index and Gross Domestic Product as barometers of how well our economy is functioning. And at the core of those numbers is the purchasing power of consumers, of you and me. And Mary singing the Magnificat on Madison Avenue stands out like a red dress on a bride. Is it possible to sing the Magnificat today? That the powerful are brought down from their thrones and the hungry are filled? Well, I suppose that the straightforward answer is that we can sing this song because we just did, and you heard it. Moreover, this building sings a perpetual Magnificat here in Caldwell. And what I mean is that these windows are here every day of the year. And people walk by and they gaze at the beauty of the sanctuary. And these windows tell a different story, the story of God's salvation. And a beautiful story it is. But it's a difficult story to hear in the midst of the Advent season. The Advent season means something different to most of us. To retailers, it's the season that they move into the black for the year. It's an accounting term. Retail shops operate in the red most of the year, red ink highlighting their losses and standing out against the otherwise black ink. And it's only when Black Friday comes around, and we actually name a day for it, the day following Thanksgiving. Black Friday is when retail begins to make up for months and months of losses, and that red ink turns black. And the reason that red ink turns black is because we all get frantic with consumption. Our levels of activity rise during Advent, and might we have just a month ago missed the announcement that Mary is with the Son of God? Maybe it's best that we see and hear in January what our lives couldn't comprehend last month. Maybe now that our credit card statements have arrived and our bills are due, maybe now we can hear of God's amazing free gift, that the Son of God has entered the world. From now on, all generations will call lowly Mary blessed, for the Mighty One has done a great thing. This is a countercultural message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be a different story than the gospel preached in the Wall Street Journal. His father was a working man with sawdust in his beard and a hammer and saw hanging from his tool belt. His mother was a peasant girl. At his arrival into this world, he was homeless. And shortly thereafter, he became a refugee because Herod wanted him dead. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A manger. That's a nice word for a cattle trough. Parents, can you imagine? My kids are now 17 and 15, and I remember all the things that I needed to keep them clean and safe and protected. Things which we absolutely had to have. And parents of newborn children today won't even let their grandparents hold their little babies without sanitizing their hands first. And here, being born for us, the Son of God is placed into an emptied watering trough, filled with hay and wrapped in whatever blankets Mary and Joseph could find. And that's the story that Mary sings down the avenue every day of the year. With the thousands of cars that turn this corner every day, do you think that that's an important message to keep in sight? I sometimes wish that these streets still carried horseback riders who might hitch their horses to posts instead of racing to make the light on Bloomfield Avenue, that they might see what God is doing. I love this window because Mother Mary is highlighted in our children's book. Glory shines around Mary's head as the annunciation of her pregnancy with the Son of God. As a dove, the Spirit of God descends upon her. And it's important that we highlight Mother Mary because we Presbyterians, unlike our Catholic friends, don't pay that much attention to Mary. Certainly, we do not pay enough attention to her. She was, after all, chosen by God to bear the Son of God, and we should recognize her more. Even this Presbyterian minister had to learn the Hail Mary when I worked in hospice. It helped comfort those of the Catholic faith, helping them be led by that beautiful old prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. That's quite a title. But there's an ancient prayer that gives Mother Mary even more credit than that. And the prayer comes from the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Greek-speaking part of the church in the 6th century. And it begins like this: Hail space for the uncontained God. What do you think of that? That Mary's womb would be space for the uncontained God. That all infinity delivered from that cramped space in the usual human way. It's pretty high theology if you think about it, but it should make you smile. Mary's womb is space for the uncontained God. In the form of her infant son, God, the creator of all the stars and worlds, makes God's definitive earthly appearance. The Greek Orthodox Church calls Mary the God-bearer. She is the first disciple. She is the first one to say yes to God without flinch or second thought. Let it be with me according to your word, she says to the angel Gabriel. When Gabriel asks her to do God a small favor, let it be. One word in Latin, fiat. The Beatles even sang of it. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. You can say it with me. Let it be. Let it be. And Luke tells us her story so that we can hear of Mary's obedience, and so we can follow that obedience, that we can all be God-bearers, not quite as definitively as Mother Mary, but we can all bring God into a world where God so often seems absent. That's what the word Christian means. It means little Christ. We are little Christs. We are the ones who bring Jesus to others. Do you see the cruse of anointing oil in the window? The breastplate of the high priest? The scepter surrounded by the 7 stars of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, indicating the 7 churches? It's symbolic that Jesus will be a prophet, a priest, and a king. But not an ordinary prophet, priest, and king, but one who will suffer with a crown of thorns placed upon his head and rise victorious, replacing the crown thorn with the victor's laurel wreath. The imagery in this first window alone tells us so much of this uncontained God being present here and now. And it challenges us to live out that calling to be bearers of Jesus' message. 20 years ago, Chuck and Joyce McGrath were working with the youth of this church. And they were trying to figure out where to go on a mission project. And they somehow got connected with the Pittsburgh Project, and most of you know that we send 2 groups of students, a middle school group and a high school group, every year to Pittsburgh. And they help repair the homes of elderly and economically disadvantaged people. And I would have to say that for me, having gone, as well as for many of the students, one of the most moving nights is Homeowners Night. And it's where the homeowners are given an opportunity to talk about how they have been touched by this ministry. Inevitably, one of the comments that always comes out is that when these students come to their home, it was as if God was there. Or, I felt like I was looking into the face of God. That ministry has given the youth and advisors of this church the opportunity to be the face of God, God-bearers, Christians, little Christs. You know, that's the challenge that we have every day of our lives. That when we walk out of these doors, each one of us becomes a bearer of God to this community. You are Jesus to other people, and we become space for the uncontained God. They called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was born in a stable in a tiny town 5,000 miles from here, 2,000 years ago. But we tell the story as if it could happen any time, any place, right here, right now. There he is. Mary is with child, the Son of God who will become God with us always, if we are kind and compassionate and willing, like Mary, to become space for the uncontained God. Amen.